So, dear brethren, I'll start off by just quickly saying, with the Passover, there are traditions regarding Passover, and then there are the facts about Passover, the biblical truth about Passover. There is that which is popular among men, which is not acceptable to Elohim. Matter of fact, there's a scripture that says that which is popular among men is often or is an abomination to Elohim. So we are not called to follow what's popular because sometimes we may find everyone's doing something at a certain time and we just feel for the sake of unity or just the drive that we want to do it at the same time. These are appointed times of Elohim where he plans to be for his people and he expects us to be there at the same time. I know a lot of people may have good intent, so it seems, because only Elohim knows the heart, and he does not allow those who want to do right to stay in error. He doesn't. He's a just Elohim. And whenever someone really wants to do what's right, he guides them. Because oftentimes, and with what I find over the years to be true, is that a lot of people want to do things because of it's a cultural thing, because it's traditional, because it's what certain flesh that they look to do. And we have these things, but we're not. We are to look to Elohim. And broad is the narrow, let me say, is the way that leads to life. So his path is a narrow way. And few find it. Keep that in mind. That's in everything concerning him, even his appointed times. Let's be mindful of that. So let's not be caught up in what's popular, what people with clout of bloodline or clout of education or clout of religious status say. But let's be of that humble mind to surrender ourselves to the word of Elohim. Then we will have the greatest of all, the most high. We will be in the midst of the most high at his appointed times. So if that's it, I'm going to make a quick statement. Passover is traditionally celebrated on the 15th of Aviv, 15th of the first month of the year. However, biblically speaking, by the scriptures, Passover is to be observed on the 14th. The entire event of the first day of Passover occurs on the 14th. And this is what I will briefly go through today, because we covered it last Monday in our weekly teaching, but I mean in our special teaching, but I want to go over because I know some of you couldn't be on, and it's important as Passover is almost upon us. So, and let me just say too something about Passover that creates a confusion, and well, it doesn't create a confusion that people misunderstand. There is the Passover. There were in history, there were only two Passovers per the biblical record that we have two and lots of celebrations in between. I'm going to repeat. There are two Passovers, two events that were Passovers and many celebrations in between. What you and I are doing and have been doing since Messiah are celebrations of Passover. Okay, and what was done since Moses, after Moses, and in between Messiah's coming were celebrations of Passover. Because Passover is an event. Passover was something that happened, and we as children of Elohim celebrate it. So there's the actual event, and there's the celebration. And that's very important because sometimes people make the mistake of trying to celebrate, have the celebration exactly the way the event took place. And it's not entirely the same. There are differences between the event of Passover and the celebration of Passover. So keep that in mind. So let's move on and let's see the timing of the Passover by looking at the narrative, the account of Passover in Exodus chapter 12. And my point is going to show that the narrative does not allow for the Passover to be on the 15th. It doesn't allow for that. The narrative, the account, only works if Passover is actually on the 14th. So I'm going to skim through some of the verses, but I'll read a few starting from verse 1 of Exodus Shemot, or Exodus chapter 12, verses 1. And it says, "The Eternal said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, land of Mitzrayim, 'This month shall be for you, this Chodesh shall be for you the beginning of Chodesh, the Rosh Chodesh, or Chodeshim. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you.'" Quickly, again, Elohim says this is the first month. But there are those who would proclaim to be teaching the ways of Elohim who tell you the new year is in the fall. No, the new year is in the month of Aviv. That's what Elohim says, and that's what his children follow. We are not to follow any dictates of men that goes against that, no matter what reasoning they may give. They may give you such, "Oh, it's a civil new year." But guess what? For Elohim, there's no such thing. He has one people, one and one law for his people. He doesn't have different sets of laws for his people. Okay? So it shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers. Hence begins the the Passover discussion. So on the 10th of Aviv, the 10th of that first month, they were to select a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. Verse 4, "And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." So two things. The lamb is not like that baby we often see in movies or on posters or in books. They'll show you a little baby lamb, you know, like it's just a week or two old and it's about to be. No, it's a year old. So it's like a young ram. It's almost or practically full grown. It has horns. So it's a young ram. And it doesn't have to be sheep. It could be of the goats. So says Elohim, not man. Okay, it doesn't have to be a lamb. It could be a goat. But it must be a year old. It must be perfect. "And you shall keep it until the 14th Yom of this month." Okay? Yom, day. And as we did the study on the Sabbath day, we saw that that the Sabbath started in the daytime. And we will cover that. For some reason, I started with Passover. I was supposed to actually start today with going over that first. But as time permits, we'll go over it. "And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." So twilight is between the evenings. So the evening, according to the scriptures, begins about noon and ends of what we call 6. So between that is about 3 p.m. That's right in the middle. Between 12 noon to 6 p.m. is about 3 p.m. Yes. And that's about when Messiah said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," right? At twilight. "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it." Verse 8, "They shall eat that flesh that night," that night, that night, what night? The night of the 14th. It's not another night. It's that night. When did they take the lamb? In the daytime, on the 14th. When did they kill it? That same night. And we will see that very clearly later on. But they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Okay? So there is more. I'll read this. Do not eat of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted its head with its legs, its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. Passover ends by morning. Okay, so from what we've read so far, the lamb is selected on the 10th of Aviv. It's kept for 4 days in keeping it, making sure it's safe. You select a perfect lamb. You want to make sure it's perfect until the 14th. At twilight, the lamb was sacrificed. And it was roasted. No water. Of course it was washed, but you don't boil it. It's roasted over fire with everything. And it is to be eaten only during the night. Anything left over, it's burnt. So Passover is on the 14th only. It does not overlap into the 15th. By morning, that is by dawn or by the marhar, the boher, it shall be burnt. By dawn, it shall be burnt. Don't let the day start upon it, basically. And let me stop here. We're not teaching that we are to kill a lamb. Not at all. I'm just showing what the events are. We, today, it would be unlawful for us to do such a thing. So that's not what I'm saying, but I'm trying to show what happened in the event, what the law says. So in this manner, you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the eternal's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through. So whose Passover is it? It is the eternal's Passover. What's the Passover? Is it only the lamb? No, it's not only the lamb. The lamb is the lamb of the Passover. We have to get that understanding. The lamb is not in of itself the Passover. It is the lamb of the Passover. For I will, so it is the eternal's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And then their Elim of Egypt, and all the Elim of Egypt, all the powers of Egypt, I will execute judgments. He will carry out decisions that he has made, that he has he pronounces, and he says, I am the eternal. And that says a lot. We are to look to him and to him alone. He is the only one who was and is and will be. He's the only one who has that name. Verse 13, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who is the Passover? He says, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the eternal throughout your generations as a statute forever. We won't really go into the unleavened bread portion, even though we covered it, but I want to focus on the timing of the Passover. So skipping down to verse 21 of the same chapter, then now Moses is going to relate this information to the congregation of Israel. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Okay. Now, it sounds like this is happening in one day. It's not necessarily happening in one day. The people were in Egypt. They have to get a perfect lamb. So Elohim is an Elohim of order. So it's reasonable. I won't dare say 100% because it's not written down, but it's very reasonable that he told them this before the 10th of Aviv. Because he started to say, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. So I don't think he would wait till the middle of the month to tell them that. Okay, I think this is something he's saying very early on, like in verse verse 1, I'm sorry, verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, this month shall be for you. So it's reasonable. Elohim is wise. And he wants them to be able, as human beings, to fulfill the obligation of selecting a perfect lamb. He wants them to be able to hold it for 14 days. So he's not going to, for four days. Because he wants them to select it on the 10th day of the month and to watch it, to tend to it for those 4 days until the 14th. So although this says here, go and select lambs for yourself according to your lamb and kill the Passover lamb, it's not necessarily stating that this is all happening at all once, but he's saying what they need to do. So then he says, take a bunch of hyssop, verse 22, take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the door and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basement. None of you shall go out of the door, out of his house until the morning. Okay. Now, if this was the 15th, you're going to see why that's a problem, because according to, the scriptures, you will see that they left Egypt in the daytime. They were in process of leaving Egypt in the daytime, and they left Ramses by nighttime on the 15th. So how can you be keeping the Passover on the 15th but you left on the 15th? It doesn't equate. And that's why we need to pay close attention to what the scriptures say. And plus, during the time when they're eating the Passover, they were not allowed to go out of their houses. Only two people, of course, could do that, and that was Moses and Aaron. Because Elohim, they were the prophet and priest over the people. At least the prophet right now, since at this point Aaron wasn't announced priest yet, but Moses was the prophet. And so let's continue. For the eternal, none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Why would he say that if he was going to allow the people to go out? And why? Why must it? Because it says verse 20, for the eternal will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the eternal will pass over you. Will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. Much could be. So what we can see here is that, and again, in verse 27, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the eternal's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel. So it's the sacrifice of the eternal's Passover. We have to understand that the lamb itself is not the Passover. It's very important. It sounds like kind of like hard to get a handle, but we have to understand. It's the eternal that does the Passovering. The service and all of that is just a service and sacrifice for what Elohim did. He says, it is the eternal's Passover. He passed over the houses of the people of Israel and Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. Okay, so according to the narrative shows us that during the time of the Passover, the children of Israel could not leave their homes until morning. Okay, so they cannot eat the Passover, be restricted to their homes, and leave at the same time. Because the belief that's commonly taught today is that Passover is on the 15th. But now we're going to see that the 15th was when they left. So the point is they can't be in their homes and leave at the same time. And we're going to also see that the scripture clearly tells us that the Passover is to be celebrated on the 14th. It's not just killed, because the excuse, oh yeah, yeah, of course, it's on the 15th, but we kill the lamb on the 14th. No. Yes, you do kill the lamb but you must also celebrate the Passover on the 14th. It says it plainly in the Torah. And we are to observe Elohim's law. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. And I hope I'll be able to cover a little bit about, I'll make a statement about the Sabbath. I'll probably, because I won't go too much into the Sabbath today because of the time. We'll possibly do it next Sabbath. I want to make sure to allow enough time for our brother Willard. Richard, sorry. So the Passover celebration in, Numbers chapter 9, emphasizing verse 2, verse 3, verse 5, and 11. I will read it, but here's the point. This clearly states Passover is celebrated at twilight on the 14th of Aviv, not on the 15th. So let's see that. And the Eternal spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year. So they left Egypt, and this is the second year. And they're going to keep their, now they're going to celebrate the Passover for the first time. This is a celebration. They had the event. The event happened in Egypt. Now they're going to celebrate it. And the Eternal spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time according to all its statutes and all its rules. You shall keep it. Okay, so what does he mean by keeping? He is not talking about just the killing. Because if he was going to talk about the killing, he would have mentioned, go select make sure you select your lamb of a 10, on the 10th. So that includes all the preparation. No, he's not talking about the preparation. He's speaking about, let the people of Israel observe the Passover at its appointed time, specifically on the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time, according to all its statutes and all its rules. You shall keep it. The law, the Torah, Elohim says, it's on the 14th at the evening. It's not on the 15th. So verse 4, so Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover, verse 5, and they kept the Pesach, the Passover, in the first month on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Eternal commanded Moses, so the people of Israel did. So when does it say that? It's very clear, brethren, that according to Numbers, they clearly state that Passover is celebrated, is kept, is observed at twilight on the 14th of Aviv. Let's look at verse 11. This is a situation I believe let's just read it. So in the second month, they made accommodations for some people. Elohim gave them the accommodation for those who could not keep it that first year. Okay, so this is a scenario because they were unclean for whatever reason and they couldn't keep the Passover the first year. And Elohim told them that they can, Elohim says in verse 9, the Eternal spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel saying, if any one of you or of your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall still keep the Passover to the Eternal. Verse 11, in the second month on the 14th day at twilight, they shall keep it. Even look at that. In the second month on the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. Not on the 15th. Okay? Now this is the second month. Why? It's because it's still Aviv. Brethren, the first month is called Aviv because it starts in the first season of Aviv or spring. So so the second month is still in Aviv and the third month is still in Aviv, but you're not allowed to keep Passover on the third month because the sacrifice, just like a sacrifice can be, kept in some cases, meat can be eaten even to a second day. Meat is not allowed to be eaten on a third day. So just like in the months, in righteousness, you have, if you miss Passover the first month, you have an entire month to be ready. You don't need a third month. So by the second month, the latest, anyone who missed the Passover for justifiable cause can observe it the second month. But again, it says in the second month on the 14th day at twilight, they shall keep it, not on the 15th. Let's look at two more witnesses. Let's look at Numbers 33. Bar Mitbar, Numbers chapter 33. Numbers 33 says, beginning at verse 3, but I'll start in context at verse 1. These are the stages of the people of Israel, or their journeyings, their stages, their movements of the people of Israel when they went out of the land of Egypt by their companies under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. 2, Moses wrote down their starting places stage by stage by command of the Eternal. And these are their stages according to their starting places. Verse 3, so they set out from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. Remember what I said when we read Exodus chapter 12? That on the 15th day, they were not in their homes. They were leaving. They set out from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. So how could they keep the Passover if they were on their way out? But when was the Passover? Listen to what it says. On the day after the Passover, the people of Israel went out. So the Passover is on the 14th, and the day after the Passover on which they came out is the 15th. It says it right there, so there's don't let anyone, by their degrees, by their titles, or by their tradition, or by their claim on blood right, or whatever it is, turn you from believing what is true. Because it gives you the context clearly. I'm going to read it and we'll move on. They set out from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. But, I'm sorry, on the day after the Passover, the people of Israel went out triumphantly in sight of all the Egyptians. It was on the day after Passover. It wasn't on Passover. Because Passover was on the 14th. Okay? On the day after the Passover, the people of Israel went out triumphantly in the sight of all the Egyptians. Okay, let's read another witness. Actually, that's it. But I'll give you something to think about, and then I'll stop here. And I'll say a little bit about the Sabbath day timing too. Something that people are unaware about Passover. Like I said, the Passover, let me back up a little. The Passover is an event, was an event. The first Passover it held in Egypt was an event. But the celebrations of Passover are not the same. The Passover in Egypt included one lamb, right, for every household. One lamb, each lamb, and if the house was too small for one lamb, then they'll share it with their neighbor. But the celebration does not include one lamb. Ah, a lot of people will not be aware of that. But that's what Elohim says in the Torah. But you won't hear people say these things because people are trying to teach tradition too many times. The congregation, those who are in Elohim's hands, must surrender to the scriptures and teach the truth. We're lovers of truth, not of tradition or our own opinions. We have to say what the scripture says. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. Okay? And when we are to live by all the scriptures, not what scholars and others tell us the scriptures are. We must know what the scriptures are by discernment, by knowing truth. Because whatever is truth is of Elohim only. Not just what comes from among the Israelites, whether it's the Gentiles or whether it's the Israelites, truth is from Elohim. Okay, so let's read this portion in Deuteronomy chapter 16 to get an understanding of the celebration a little bit more. The passages we covered includes similar things, but chapter 16 gives it to us in a good way, in a concise way, where all the rules are there, because this is after 40 years. This is like 40 years later, and they're getting ready to enter the land. So Moshe was going through all the laws, making sure that these who were going to actually enter the land knew what to do, how to do it as Elohim made it clear to him. Let's read a little bit from chapter 16 of Passover. It says, observe the month of Aviv. So you have to, how can you observe if you don't know where it begins? Okay, we don't know where it begins because we look to any human being and we're looking at what does the calendar I brought from the store says? Or what do those who hate Messiah says? That doesn't make sense. That would not be wise. We need to understand how to know these things. They're very easy. They really are. But we have to surrender ourselves to the knowledge of Elohim, to the truth, and not be prejudiced by flesh and blood, but by what is true. So, Passover, according in Barmit in let's see, yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 16. It says, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to the Eternal your Elohim. For in the month of Aviv, the Eternal your Elohim brought you out of the land of Egypt by night. You see that? That's when they came out. So they left they were getting themselves ready to leave, you know, in the morning. But you're talking about over a million people, about a million or more people. So you could understand it's going to take some time for a million or so people to leave the land. So by night, they had left. They were ready. And that's why they had to have their sandals on and all of that. The celebration doesn't require that. Elohim is practical. The reason he told them to have their sandals is because they were going to leave in haste. That's not the case for the celebration. So it says, for in the month of Aviv, the Eternal, your Elohim, brought you out of Egypt by night, and you shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Eternal, your Elohim, from the flock or the herd, at the place that the Eternal will choose. It was the event happened in Egypt, but the Passover can never be held in Egypt at that time, at that particular time. The Passover celebration cannot be held in Egypt or any other place except the place where Elohim chooses. So it says in verse 3, and you shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Eternal your Elohim from the flock or the herd at the place that the Eternal will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. Now pay attention to verse 3. This is what I want you to understand. It says, you shall eat no leavened bread with it. With what? With the lamb. With the sacrifice, right? 7 days you shall eat it. It what? I'm sorry. 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. Now let's revisit this. What's particular about this text? It says, 7 days you shall eat it. It what? What is the it? The sacrifice. Right? It was about the sacrifice, the Passover sacrifice. You shall offer the Passover sacrifice. There's the Passover, and then there's the sacrifice for the Passover. Again, the lamb is not exclusively the Passover. Keep that in mind. But thus eat, but 7 days you shall eat it. What? The sacrifice with what? Unleavened bread. The bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days in your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. Verse 4. No leaven shall be seen with you in your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the flesh that you sacrifice on the evening of the first day remain all night until morning. 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread. Going back to verse 3 is telling us that you are to eat. How can you eat the Passover for 7 days if it's only one lamb? How can you eat the sacrifice for 7 days if it's only one lamb? Look at verse 3 again. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread. So it's telling you that there is a lamb for each seven of those 7 days. And you see that also in Numbers chapter 29, and then I'll stop with this and move on a little bit to the Sabbath, make a few statements about the Sabbath. But it says here, concerning Passover in Numbers chapter 28, on the 14th day of the first month is the Eternal's Passover. The Eternal's Passover. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. So Passover again is on the 14th, and on the 15th day is the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do not do any work. Let me find out. Let me skip down just for time. Let's see. Verse 20. Also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah shall you offer for a bull, 2/10 of a ram, a tenth shall you offer for each of the seven lambs. Let me find where it describes the seven lambs here. You mean verse 20? Yeah, I'm in, no, this is it. There's a place where it tells you the seven lambs. On the first day, two bulls. Oh yeah, right here, verse 19. But offer a food offering, a burnt offering to the Eternal, two bulls from the lamb, one ram, and seven males of a year old. How old did the Passover lamb need to be? A year old. Seven male lambs, a year old. See, make sure that they are without blemish, because each of them will be a sacrifice for the Passover, for each of the 7 days. That's why in Deuteronomy 16, it says, for 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread. So I stop here. So a lot of people are focusing a great deal about the, and we will talk more about this during Passover. So we can understand Messiah's role in Passover that is far greater, more complete than what people have been trying to tell us, because they're trying to isolate him to the lamb. And he is much more than the lamb. But we will see that during Passover itself. So that's my little stop here regarding Passover. So pray about these things that you've heard. Let's be ready for Passover. Have faith that it's on the 14th, not the 15th, because whatever we do must be of faith, and whatever is not done according to faith, and faith according to faith is a sin. We learn in New Covenant scriptures. So what I was going to say in regards to the Sabbath, I will say this much. The Sabbath starts during the daytime, not at evening. There are reasons for that, and I won't cover it because I want to do justice to it, and also I'll cover it next Sabbath. But I'll say this bit briefly. That Genesis, the plain text in Genesis chapter 1 tells us that a day starts with the light, where Elohim says, let there be or, let there be light. And he called the light Yom. So a Yom started with light. What's called darkness or Hoshek over the face of the deep was a condition, part of the whole condition of the mass of the earth that was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. That had nothing to do with time. That darkness was not Lila. It was not night, but it was Hoshek, a deep oppressive darkness. As a matter of fact, in Passover, we will see that same deep oppressive darkness placed over Egypt. It's not at all night. There's no light in it. So, and in the entirety, and the Sabbath itself, starts in the daytime. It starts in the daytime of the seventh day, but it does not last the entire seventh day. It only lasts until on sunset. And the night of that seventh day is not part of the Sabbath. These are statements that I'm making so you could understand what I will be covering next Sabbath. Okay? So now without further delay, we will let our brother, Richard come to share.